Welcome back to another episode of Uncle Takes. We're your hosts, Monica and Tank. And today we're talking about The Butterfly Effect, which came out in 2004. It's a thriller sci-fi directed by Eric Bress and J. Mackay Gruber. It stars Ashton Kutcher, who plays Evan. Amy Smart plays Kaylee. William Lee Scott plays Tommy. Eldon Henson plays Lenny. And those are the four adult characters. There's also 7-year-old versions of each of those four and 13-year-old versions of each of those four. But I'm not familiar with the actors and anything else. So we'll just go with those people. Evan, Kaylee, Tommy, and Lenny. Evan's mother is Andrea. Kaylee and Tommy are siblings. Their father is Mr. Miller. And then I also have Ethan Suplee. Plays Thumper, who is like Evan's roommate in some realities. I didn't mention Mr. Miller is played by Eric Stoltz. But in terms of characters, like, that's all we want to talk about, right? Is there anyone else that you want to mention?
No, I think those are all the main ones. The only one who comes up a few times is like the doctor, whose name I don't know.
The doctor, the dad, but
yeah, there's a dad. I mean, there's some other people, but those are all the actors that I think anyone would recognize.
Yeah. Okay. Well, the summary of this movie is that Evan, a troubled child that has experienced several traumatic events with his friends, copes with such tragedies by inadvertently blacking out as the traumas are occurring, and then he writes in diaries thereafter. As a college student later on in life, he figures out that he can travel back in time to those moments that he had previously blacked out by simply reading his journal of the events leading up to those blackout moments. And his 20-year-old consciousness can interact in and rewrite those moments as he sees fit. These changes to the past have profound impacts to his current life, and each time he tries to go back and change something for the better, the unintended consequences of his actions lead him to want to change even more of his past. So that's the setup of the movie. The actual mechanics, like scene by scene and trying to keep shit straight, is difficult, I'd say, because I don't think it's consistent. I don't think it holds up.
I agree. I think it doesn't. I think there's particularly one part of it that's inconsistent.
Well, should we give a general structure of like the traumatic events, and then we'll just go sort of we'll go sort of in the timeline of the movie as we're seeing it. And then you can just call out whenever, you know, it doesn't add up. Because there's shit to say about a few of these different time traveling things.
Well, so like the first, 30 minutes or so are the kids as kids, right?
Yeah, they're setting up all of these traumatic events, the before and after, because as the viewer of the movie, you don't know what happens in these traumatic blackout events. You just see what happens before and what happens after.
Yeah. And then, like, probably 30 minutes in is the first time we see him at college. And that's sort of the present day timeline, is him as, like, a 20-year-old. To the extent there is, like, a present day, right?
Yeah.
It's him as a 20-year-old college kid, it looks like, trying to go back over and over and, you know, change his childhood.
Yeah, that's the crux of the movie. So the traumatic events, I had 5 of them. It's only implied in the first 30 minutes as to like what happens. You just know something shitty happens. But, when he was 7, he was involved in a kiddie porn with his good friend Kaylee. Also at age 7, he was like drawing a murderous scene in class and doesn't remember having drawn it. And then he also went to visit his father. And I think as a result of that, like, his father died wherever he was. It wasn't prison. It was like, was it a mental hospital?
Yeah, but his father tried to strangle him.
Oh, yeah, that too. Okay.
But so skipped over that.
Do we know that? Like, oh, he wakes up and he's being strangled. That's right.
Yeah, he like comes back in. And that's why the father dies, because the gods. Okay, we'll get to that in a second. But
yeah. And then the fourth event is whenever he's 13, He and his shitty friends are like putting a stick of dynamite in a mailbox and trying to blow it up. And then he wakes up in the woods as they're running away. And he's like, what the fuck happened? And then number five is, we'll say killing Crockett. We don't know how Crockett, his dog, dies, but we just know that before Crockett was not dead. And then afterward, he was like, what the fuck happened? Because he got hit with a stick or something. So I think that's all the historical times that he travels back to, right?
Yes. Yeah, it's mostly, yeah, I think at some point there's different ones.
Up until the end of the movie?
Yeah, towards the end it gets like a little wackier, but
yep.
Yeah, it's mostly the kiddie porn and then the mailbox and then the dog at the junkyard. Those, I think, are the three major ones, right?
Yeah.
And we see those like a bunch of different times with a bunch of different outcomes.
Do we see them a bunch of different times?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Did you watch the same movie? Yeah,
I did,
we do.
Maybe
we see each of them about five times.
You watched it five times?
No, we see each of those things about five different times.
Oh, wow. Okay.
That's actually the entire movie.
Yeah, I figured he was just going from one to the next, you know? Like, he only gets one opportunity to change the mailbox scene.
No.
He only has two opportunities to change killing Crockett.
No, I don't think that's right either.
So am I just blacking out parts of this movie?
Yeah, I think someone's going back in time and erasing. You're going to start journaling all the movies you see.
Yeah, okay. Well, the first one, right, he's just like, he's present day Evan. He's normal. He has a roommate who's kind of wacky, played by Ethan Suplee, and he goes on a date or whatever. And then at the end of the date, he picks up one of these journals and he starts reading to his date.
No, okay.
Is this not the first time travel?
That's sort of what happens. But I actually don't remember if it's the first one. But his date is like, oh, do you have, what is she looking for? What does she ask for? He has Officer Beer. And then she says, like, do you have any something? And starts looking under his bed, finds all his journals, and just starts reading them like an absolute crazy person. It's like, I don't know why she thought that was a reasonable thing to do. Do you not remember this?
Yeah, I do.
Okay.
But so then she's like, read one of these to me, right?
Yeah. Can you imagine that, like, reading your, like, 7-year-old journal to somebody, and it's like, I went to school today. Like, what the hell do they think they're gonna hear?
I guess, why does he have those journals under his college dorm bed? You know? Like, he clearly doesn't go back and read them. Because if he had, then he would have been time traveling, right?
Yeah, I think he just keeps them because he needs to continue to journal them every time he blacks out.
Yeah,
so I think he's just keeping them because he's adding to the collection.
He's got 15 volumes. You figure he could archive like 13 of those and just keep the most recent two? Or as
yeah.
He finishes one, put it, you know,
I
send
mean,
it
I
out
I think he's
to
just keeping them in a box together. I mean, I don't, sure.
Okay. So yeah, this is the first time he time travels, right?
Yes.
But he doesn't do anything. Like, he goes back to the time where the dog was going to die. And then he comes to present day again, and he's still on the date. Like, he doesn't change anything about the past. He just, like, time travels, learns of what happened at that incident, and then he decides to, you know, explore that.
Yeah, because I think, so the reason they go out is because he's celebrating no blackouts for 7 years. Right?
Yes. So I guess the last time he blacked out was that Crockett incident.
Yes. Because those are the only... So he doesn't try to change anything between the dog and college, it sounds like.
Yes. Well, I mean, can he? The way the movie sets it up is that he can only time travel back to where he was blacked out. So if he had no blackout...
No. That's not right, I don't think.
Well, it's not right in the end.
No, I don't think it's right. I don't think it's right ever.
You don't think it's right for like 90% of the
movie? I think you're getting the cause and effect backwards.
Okay.
He blacks out because he time travels.
Interesting.
Because he's losing control. Like, him as a child is no longer in control. It's the adult who has gone back. So that's why he blacked out.
Mm.
It's not that those are, like, creating openings for him to go back. He can go back to any time he reads the journals.
Well, that makes the movie a hell of a lot more interesting.
Because, like, later he goes back to the... which ending did you watch?
I've seen all four.
Okay, so there's one where he's playing like the home movies and goes and whispers to the girl.
That's the theatrical cut.
And that wasn't a blackout moment. That was just, that's why he asked her for the movies. Anytime he sees a photograph, anytime he like sort of has some sort of totem of a memory, he can go back. And the blackouts are the result of that, not the cause.
Gotcha. Interesting. So yeah, well, I guess why does he choose to go back to these incidents?
Well, these were like the inflection points in his life. He decides, I guess. I think his usage of his powers is all over the place. We can get to that. I have a lot to go over about that stuff.
Okay, so he returns to the present day, as much as there is one. And he starts to explore, like, he goes and meets Lenny, and Lenny's, like, painting planes or something, and he's just sort of not well, locked up in his room, and never really progressed, like, through adolescence. And I guess he asks about the incident, right, because the time he traveled back, Tommy said something, and I forget what it was, but Evan, as a 20-year-old, like, went to ask Lenny what happened there, and then Lenny's response to it was exactly what Tommy said, and that's what traumatized Lenny to the point where he's just now, like, painting planes, and he doesn't have a life, right? So, like, yeah, that gives evidence. You're talking evidence.
About with the dog.
Yeah, so it just confirms for Evan that he successfully traveled back in time to live that moment.
Is that what it's confirmed? Does that is? I maybe.
Because up until that moment, up until Evan travels back in time, he doesn't know what happened, right? He has to travel back in time to learn.
So you're saying he's getting the memory of that time when he travels back?
Yes.
Okay.
Because 20-year-old Evan doesn't know what happened at that instant, right?
Yeah, the way his memory works, like, and this is something I kind of want to like talk about broadly later on, but is really weird. And it happens in like a few of these movies. So
after his conversation with Lenny in the modern day, just sort of like indicates to him, oh shit, he can time travel because he was now learning about a blackout from the past. But then he goes to visit Kaylee, who is, I guess, his girlfriend throughout adolescence. And she's now a diner waitress. And he starts asking about, you know, some of the shit that he doesn't remember as an adult. And she has a very negative reaction to this. Later on that night, we learn that she commits suicide. And then, I guess, Tommy, her brother, calls Evan and threatens him and says, you know, I'm going to come kill you. So now Evan's like, oh, shit. Now that I know I have this time travel ability and I don't want Kaylee to die today or last night, I need to travel back in time to actually try to influence the current day, right?
Right.
Okay. So this is his attempt to change the past, number one. And he goes back to the day that they recorded the kiddie porn.
Yes. And that was her father.
Yes. And Haley
and Tommy's father made a kiddie porn with Evan and Kaylee, but didn't let Tommy be involved. Not out of any, affection for him, but Tommy actually seemed kind of pissed off.
He was so furious. He's, ripping the head off of a doll on the stairs as he's looking.
There's some, real incest subtext in this movie with those two kids that is, never addressed in a reasonable way.
Yeah,
I know they had a lot of stuff going on, but the brother is very into her in a way that seems romantic. And she seems to almost reciprocate. It's kind of weird.
Yeah. So I mean, he goes back and his solution, right, now that he's a cogent adult, is he tells Mr. Miller to keep his hands off her and instead punish Tommy because that guy's a loose cannon. Right, because modern day Evan understands that Tommy, I think, did something to Crockett, had an incident with dynamite. Right, Tommy's unhinged. He's a bully. He's a piece of shit.
It's probably easy if we explain the incidents because we keep sort of talking around them, right?
Oh, that's fair.
So the thing with the dynamite is, I think they just find it in the basement, right?
Yes.
And they decide to just go blow up a mailbox.
Yes.
But does it kill a lady and her kid?
It's just poor timing. They put the dynamite in the mailbox with a cigarette for a fuse. And I guess that makes it take 5 minutes. So they're just standing there staring at the mailbox.
And they made Lenny go do it.
Yes. And in that time, the lady gets home with her infant. And before she goes inside, she goes and checks the mail. And that just so happens to be when the dynamite finally goes off and it kills both of them.
Yeah.
So that's the mailbox dynamite incident.
And then the dog at the junkyard is that Tommy has put this dog in a sack and it looks like poured lighter fluid on it.
Yes.
And lights it on fire.
Yes. And that was in response to Evan and Kaylee, kissing at the movie theater or something.
Yeah, because he really doesn't like that Evan is dating his sister in any of these timelines.
Yes. And then third most important one is the kiddie porn, which I guess we already described.
Yeah, so that's just, and it looks like the guy seems to say they're making a Robin Hood thing. It's weird that the Evan in that one seems a lot older, the kid Evan seems a lot older than the kid Kaylee for whatever reason. Because, I think if you look at, the Wikipedia, it sort of makes it seem like these kids are all the same age.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. I mean, Tommy is the older brother, though, right?
Yeah, but he's also listed at 7 and 14. So it's, a little weird for them to, all be literally the same age type of thing.
Yeah. But,
her as a 7-year-old seems a lot younger than, whatever. I mean, not a big deal.
Yeah. So,
and it seems like this is the first day she's ever been molested.
Yeah, I think that's true. I don't think there was a history. I think this was incident number one.
Yeah.
I think Mr. Miller was opportunistic and he was like, oh, I have this kid over. I'm going to make kiddie porn. This was his foray into kiddie porn.
Well, I think he invited him over at some point. Because I think they said he got a camera. Because later on she says, he asked her oh, remember that time he got the camera? And she's like, yeah, he got it. And then after the first day, he gave it away. And he never touched me. But he had only gone back to that day. So it seems he just got a camera, decided to make a kiddie porn with the neighbor kid. It's weird to sort of start with the neighbor kid. After having achieved no, it's not like he was friends with this kid to the point where it doesn't seem like the kid would just go home and be like, hey, guess what I did at the Miller's house today or whatever.
Was it neighbors? Because his mother had to drive Evan to Mr. Miller's that day. It wasn't the neighbor.
I mean, they were in the same neighborhood, it seems like.
Oh, maybe, yeah.
I don't know if they were literally next door. But they, I mean, they all sort of hung out in that neighborhood. And I think she says the reason she lived with her father was because she didn't want to go to her mother's because she wouldn't see him. So it seems like the father's house at least, you know, has proximity to Evan's house. Evan is Ashton Kutcher, right? Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I mean, that time travel, the first time travel, was relatively successful, right? Because he wakes up and his roommate's not Thumper, but instead he wakes up in Kaylee's bed at her sorority house, or maybe
that's what I thought. Yeah, she was at a sorority house,
and
or just a dorm.
Is,
I think it was a sorority house, though.
Yeah, and he is like the frat king for the most popular fraternity, and she's the sorority queen. I don't know, but the downside to this timeline is that Tommy was reprimanded by his father as a result of Evan having gone back in time and said, you need to reprimand that kid. So Mr. Miller sort of took all of his energy out on Tommy. And now Tommy is just like completely unhinged. And I think he's recently going to get out of jail. Like maybe he just did a 5-year stint out. But they're 20. So like what did he, was he in juvie?
Yeah, I don't know.
So he's about to be released. Right, and yeah. I mean,
well, he is released already, I think, when we first see Ashton Kutcher.
Gotcha, yeah. So Ashton Kutcher now is just, like, adjusting to his new frat boy life. And, I mean, it's all going decently, you know, as far as he knows. And then Tommy just comes out from behind a tree with a pipe at night? Is that kind of what happens?
Kind of. So, okay. A few things. So one of the things is when he goes back, he seems to have no memories of anything and doesn't know who he is at all. Like, he doesn't know that he's in a frat, it seems like. And he's, like, confused. Like, his memories all kind of blend together. Because earlier when he was in this college class and he was doing kind of some kind of study of mealworms and, like, that was all a thing. But now in his, like, frat boy life, it's not really clear why he became a frat boy. Other than just having not been molested, made him into this sort of like douchey frat guy, I guess. But we then see that Amy, so then at some point he has the pledges help him throw like a nice dinner for Amy Smart, who's mm-hmm. Kaylee, which she's like, oh, that's not really you. But it's unclear like who he actually is. Like, so we've seen, why did you pick this movie? What was the reasoning for this?
We talked about it. You know, Larry suggested we do it.
Oh, really? Okay. Because I mean, we just watched About Time.
I know, and
which
after,
is kind of similar, right?
Yeah, but it's the, like, I mean, you know, and that
totally,
one is cute.
Totally different. Yeah.
Yeah.
And like, but it's always the thing where they come back and they don't remember anything that happens. So like, they have sometimes they have memories of like all their past lives, but it seems to be like intermittent, partially because they need to explain to the audience what's happening, like, you know, the new circumstance. Like, so they keep explaining that he's like a frat boy now. He's like, oh, I don't know who you are. This is your buddy, you frat guy or whatever.
But and even when he's interacting as a frat boy, like it seems, I don't know, he doesn't know who he is himself. So he's able to like recite the Greek alphabet. And he's an asshole toward these pledges. And then he has this weird, like, epiphany moment where he's like, well, this isn't who I am. So just like, you know, you boys go shower up. And if anybody says, you know, otherwise, just tell them I said it's okay.
Yeah, because right? I think, you know, one of their pledge or rush events or whatever was they weren't allowed to shower, it seemed like.
So he has, like, a realization halfway through being a dick. Like, he couldn't control being who he didn't know he was. And then finally, like, it clicked, and he was like, okay, no, I do have control, and I will choose not to be this person.
Yeah, because in the first time when we see he's, like, a really good student, it seems like, and his professor loves him, and in this one, he, like, talks to his professor, and is like, hey, can I still get an extension? And the professor's like, I don't know who the hell you are. And he's like, I'm Evan whatever. And I was like, I don't know who you are. Anyways, here's your exam. And it's just like, okay, well, And then he's like, he talks to his fat boyfriend. And he's like, did you study for this? And Astakush was like, we'll find out, I guess. And it's like, but does he know if he knows anything from this class? Like, it's like, in this movie, actually sort of like, that's part of the movie, because they keep going to this like doctor who's like, when we look at his brain, he has 40 years of memory stuffed in there or something. But it doesn't seem like he goes back that often. It seems like he should have like 20 years of memories plus like 40 minutes extra. But somehow, like, I don't know. So, yeah, he's a frat boy now. So then Tommy, so his car gets messed up outside the frat house. And when they look on the rearview mirror, like, they don't know who did it. But then they look on the rearview mirror and him and Amy Smart recognize what's the Crockett's collar on the rearview mirror. And that's how they know Tommy is back. And then Amy Smart's like, oh, I should have told you he got released and is now terrorizing us. Like, she's like really casual about the fact that her brother's coming back and just like terrorizing us.
Yeah, I mean, it's normal to her, right? She's been doing that for her whole life.
Yeah, and so I had a couple things around, like, during this timeline. So Amy Smart is, like, you know, I've seen her in a few different movies. Mostly this and Road Trip and Crank.
Okay. And
in Road Trip, I think she's the girl the guy cheats on his girlfriend with.
Yes.
So I remember her just being like, she's just some lady who comes in and has sex with him. In Crank, she's Jason Statham's girlfriend who he has, like, public sex with to keep his adrenaline up. And in this one, they give her dialogue about, like, how good he is at sex and how, like, she's like, where'd you learn all those tricks? And he's like, oh, was it okay? And she's like, you know, if you think multiple orgasms is okay, she's like, hurry up, I want another quickie before class. It's like, why does she get, like, what are they doing to this lady, the cast her in these movies, where she just has to say this, like, she's just like a little sex puppet in all these movies for some reason. Like, the point, I just kind of feel, like, is that a typecast where you just, she's not even, like, a slut. She just, like, that's just her thing. It's like, I mean, that's not the characters, but, like, the character. It's just, like, she's just a lady they get on screen to talk about, you know, sex in a way that's explicit for some reason that, like, isn't necessary for the movie. It's just, like, talking about how cool Ashton Kutcher is as a frat bro. It's just, I don't know.
I think it just feeds into how good his life is in this instance, right? In this iteration, in this timeline. But, I mean, Amy Smart, she plays this character. Her exact character in Scrubs? Like, she's a sex fiend? And a drama queen?
Oh, yeah, I don't remember her in Scrubs.
Oh.
I mean, I sort of remember her. She's one of JD's girlfriends, right?
I think so, yeah.
But I don't remember her character. Huh. But later when she's, like, a prostitute, I mean, obviously she's a prostitute, but they keep making, like, pretty explicit, you know, things, you know? And it's just like, okay, like, come on, you know? He's like, how would I know you have a birth, you know, two birthmarks on your inner thigh? She's like, any guy with $50 can know that. You're like, okay, come on, lady. What are we doing to this woman? Like, let her be normal in one fucking timeline, you know? Anyways, Tommy attacks them, and, like, Tommy, like, throughout all these timelines, literally just walks up to people with, like, a blunt object and smacks them. Like, he did it at the junkyard,
yep.
And, like, knocked the girl, Kaylee, and Evan, like, almost unconscious, with just, like, a swing of a log, which, like, no one tries to dodge or stop, they just sort of always take it to the face. And then, so in this one, he, like, smacks the kid pretty good with, like, a metal pipe or something. And then Ashton Kutcher, like, pepper sprays him, like, quite a bit. And Amy Smart, I feel like, is yelling at Ashton Kutcher at this point at Evan, to stop pepper spraying him, almost. She's like, you're going to kill him. But it didn't seem like she was talking to Tommy, who was trying to kill him. Maybe she was, but that's not how it seemed. So.
Is the reason Tommy's so mad because Evan is banging his sister? Like, that's why he's coming to kill Evan?
Yeah, it sort of seems like they get it seems like he's mad because he got abused by the father, but yeah, it appears to be this like incest thing every time. Because Amy Smart keeps saying after they see the dog collar, she's like, "Don't touch me. He might be watching. I don't want him to see us together." And it's like, is he like a spy now? Is he like lurking in the woods, watching them walk around? Is that what we think is happening? Like, and he's gonna go off because he's like very possessive of his sister. And then he comes back and he's just like, "Your life is so great, and you're fucking my sister. Nice piece of ass, if I say so myself." And you're like, what the fuck? Like, in this timeline, they weren't even molested, I don't think.
No, I think he derailed the molestation before it happened.
So then he kills Tommy in self-defense.
Well, I mean, he kind of takes it too far, right?
I don't think so. I mean, I wouldn't convict him. I mean, the guy did ambush him after taunting him with the dog that he burned alive and was trying to kill him. And I guess maybe was disarmed in that moment, but like, it seemed pretty self-defense to me. But then he goes to prison where he gets assaulted, it seems like. I don't know if he's sexually assaulted at this point, if that was like the implication.
But like, no, I'm not sure.
The, you know, the Aryan Brotherhood seems to be harassing him. And then it seems like the other gangs are also harassing him. And they steal all his journals. And then, like, just make fun of him. Like, it's like a schoolboy thing. I don't know. They're, like, sitting there reading the journals as he's, like, mopping the floor. And being like, "I went to, you know, sixth grade today and did geometry." And they're like, "Oh, what a fucking moron." And you're like, okay, what are we doing, guys? Is this what people do in prison? And then he goes to, like, so he convinces his roommate that he can talk to Jesus because he knows his roommate is Catholic or Christian, right?
Yeah.
And this is where the time travel isn't consistent, right?
Well, I mean, before that, it wasn't consistent because he travels back once, and you figure that with a movie called The Butterfly Effect, if he makes such a monumental pivot for himself and Kaylee to avert the kiddie porn, right? And instead, Tommy just gets reprimanded. My question is, why does Crockett the dog still die? Why does the dynamite incident still take place? Like, they have a real loosey-goosey understanding of fucking the butterfly effect here. Because such a change like that that derails the kiddie porn should have pervasive impacts for the rest of their lives. And it just doesn't. Like, everything else seems to have happened.
It does, but they still seem to hit these, like, three different checkpoints for some reason. And those just play out slightly differently.
Yeah, to the point where, like, the current timeline in comparison to the initial one is that he's no longer friends with his former roommate Thumper, but instead, like, he was the frat boy at the bar that did some dickish thing and threw a beer at Thumper. Did you catch that? Like, do all the same characters exist just in, like, different actors playing it?
In the bar, it looked like Thumper, like, chipped the pool ball into the frat boy's, like, table, and then they got mad at him, and then he was like, he broke a pool stick and threatened them, basically. It seemed like Thumper was kind of the bad guy there.
I think they were making fun of Thumper before that, and that's why he launched the ball.
Yeah, either way, though, it seems like he escalated it, because he did break the pool stick and then sort of threatened to stab them, it seemed like.
He definitely escalated it. But, like, in that reality, is do all the people, all the characters exist? It's just different humans playing them?
It seems like it. But, like, but usually, like, when they go back, eventually he gets injured, and then he still has the injuries in the present.
Right? Yes, but he doesn't have journals subsequent to that.
Right, because he can't write because he doesn't have hands.
Yes.
Which is it's hilarious that there's, like, a good, 30 minutes of this movie that is just him with no hands. And it just seemed like they wanted that to be the injury, so he couldn't make journals. But so the part that seems inconsistent is, in this one, he convinces
his cellmate.
that he can talk to Jesus by making, like, stigmata wounds on his hands.
Yeah.
But, like, he shouldn't have those in this timeline.
What do you mean? He shouldn't have the ability to time travel in that?
No, like, he just shouldn't, like, the wound shouldn't, like, just be there.
He travels back in time to make the wounds happen.
Yeah, but, like, doesn't that change the timeline? It's a different timeline now. Right? Because yeah,
so
not...
whenever he comes back to the current timeline and he's in jail, you'd think that going back and throwing your hands on some check spindles in order to create stigmata in the current day would have changed literally anything else that would have resulted in him not having the same cellmate. Maybe he was cellmates with the Aryan Brotherhood instead, you know, since it's all the same characters, just different humans.
Well,
but
also,
no, literally everything is the same.
He's in jail for killing Tommy.
Yes.
So, like, he went back to a different thing in his childhood to make the wounds, but it still counts as the one where he went back to have killed Tommy. Right? It's like a branch off that one. Yeah, so this is the part that I think is actually, like, where the rules stop making sense for this particular one. It doesn't really matter, because the only point of it is to convince his cellmate to help him with his, like, stealing the journals task.
Yeah.
Did we talk about him joining the gang?
No.
So he goes to, like, the Aryan Brotherhood and then says, obviously I have to join you guys. I have to join a gang, and I'm not going to join the blacker Hispanic gang, he says, in different words.
Yep.
He just drops some slurs all of a sudden. And he's like, so I guess maybe I just have to blow you guys? And they're like, yep, that sounds right. They're like, no teeth, though. And he's like, yeah, no, of course, obviously. So then he's about to do this, but instead, like, stabs them in the balls. All just to steal the journals. And then his buddy comes and sort of holds the door shut. Well, he, like, that was his role in this. It honestly didn't seem like he was that necessary. It seemed like we could have figured out the stealing journal so that he can go back in time. And this is where he gives Lenny. So when they're at the junkyard, right? The dog is in the bag. Tommy has brought the dog in a bag and covered him in lighter fluid.
Yeah.
And tied the bag up with a rope.
Yes.
So at some point in the initial timeline, Evan, like, Tommy, like, whacks him and Kaylee with a log or, like, some piece of junk. But then Evan tries to grab his leg and says, like, Lenny, get the dog out. Save Crockett. But Lenny is so goddamn stupid. He can't untie this rope. And he's just like, I can't do anything. And then that's when the kid says, put down the bag or I'll slit you and your mother's throat in your sleep or something. And that's, like, the line he repeats later. So then in this timeline, he's like, I know the solution to the problem. I need to give Lenny something to cut the rope because he doesn't know how to untie knots. So he gives Lenny this thing, and then Lenny just uses it to stab Tommy in the back, and he just dies, like, instantly. And then Lenny later says, you knew something was going to happen, and he says, yes. But did he know he was going to stab him, or did he just mean he knew something bad in general was going to happen?
I think he just knew something bad was going to happen. Because Evan had this, like, alertness to him, and he said, here, take this metal shard, and you'll know what to do. And he's like, cut the rope. And somehow Lenny misinterpreted cut the rope to mean stab Tommy in the back.
No, Lenny kind of blames Evan, but it's like, it wasn't like he was like, you'll know what to do, and then left him. He literally said, cut the rope, and the guy was like, he went and stabbed the kid, and he was like, no, like, oh, I didn't know what you meant. Like, no, he just wanted to stab the kid.
He was wearing a shirt made of ropes.
Because Tommy had been bullied. We see, like, Tommy bullying Lenny a lot.
Yes.
They all sort of bully Lenny, though, but Tommy does it the most, I guess.
Yeah.
Because Evan's just still trying to bang Kaylee in all these timelines.
So, after he wakes up this time in modern day Evan, right?
Yes.
He's no longer in jail. Right. But Lenny is institutionalized.
Right, for having killed Tommy.
Yes.
As a child.
And Kaylee is a prostitute.
Right. So this is the one where he talks to his dad.
Gotcha. So he's on an information mission because, like, he's already had a couple failed iterations of time travel. And he's like, well, let me try to get this right. So he goes back and talks to his father to try to gain information. And the father's just generally unhelpful, right?
Well, his father's like, oh, it seems like his father, like, they sort of weirdly edited it because his father's like, oh, okay, well, we have to, you have the power or whatever. It has to end with you. You know, I tried to end it before, but it didn't work. So you're going to have to end it. And this is why his father tried to strangle him. So the first time he met his father as a child, his father tried to strangle him. And I think we briefly talked about this, but he goes to visit his father. They're in, like, a institution. His father tries to strangle him, which the gods just sort of let happen. And then he comes to, and then the gods kill his father in front of him, doubly traumatizing him. So these gods really drop the ball in terms of not letting the kid get strangled. Because the guy comes in restraints.
Yes.
And there's two gods right there next to him.
They take the restraints off.
They really just drop the ball here.
They couldn't have bungled it more.
Yeah, let him strangle. Not only that, let him start strangling the kid and then had to murder the guy. Like, it's not even like they pull the guy off and just, like, restrain him again. They just kill him. So it's a little wacky. Yeah, Kaylee is a hooker. And I think doesn't believe that he... What is she... I guess he doesn't believe they know each other. What does he not believe in this scene?
Why doesn't Kaylee believe Evan?
Yeah, what is it about her that he doesn't believe? What is it about him that she doesn't believe here?
I guess it's kind of a moot point, because as soon as Evan sees Kaylee as a prostitute, he's like, okay, well, I'm going to go back and change this.
No, because they have a conversation, like a long conversation.
Yeah.
But he keeps trying to convince her, like, no, like, we know each other. That's when he's like, I know about your... She's like, why does my profession offend you? And he's like, it just bothers me that you're using it to hurt me. And she's like, you don't know anything. And he's like, well, I know this about you and that about you. And I think he says, like, I know that you like prefer the smell of skunk to the smell of lilac because it reminds you of your stepsister or something. Characters that I don't think we ever saw a stepsister before. That's just sort of a thing they threw in.
Yeah.
But I don't know why he's trying to convince her of anything. So then he tries to...
I think he's trying to evaluate whether or not she's savable in this timeline, because even if Lenny's institutionalized and, like, she's a prostitute, maybe he's trying to be like, okay, well, can I work with this?
Yeah,
because
I can work with the drug addicted prostitute timeline. And
maybe she can turn it around if I can just convince her that we were happy together once and there is a future for her. But then she just, like, commits to being a prostitute and she's like, no, I don't believe anything you just said, even though, you know, it's all spot on.
Yeah, she's very self-destructive, it seems like.
I'm going to keep whoring, and you can just go fuck yourself.
Yeah, or me for $50.
Yes.
yeah, and I mean, to the movie's credit, it actually does a really good job of making her look very rough in this timeline.
Yeah.
She looks like she's had a very bad life. So this is when he goes back and tries to prevent the explosion. Right?
Yes, the mailbox dynamite incident.
Yeah. And rather than just, like, he eventually goes back and tries to, like, just get rid of the dynamite. But in this one, he's like, what if we, like, plant it, but then I go back and just try to pull it out of the mailbox? Right?
Yeah, it's just like, why? It happens so poorly, you know? Like, Tommy is the second one to move toward the mailbox, but he's the first one to make it to the mother. And, you know, Evan's solution is to just start walking across the street slowly, telling the mother that's walking toward the mailbox to just back up. And in that time, Tommy darts across the road, past the mailbox, tackles the mother, and by the time the bomb is about to explode, Evan is standing right in front of the mailbox.
Yeah. And then, so in this one, he loses his hands. He's an amputee now.
Yes. Is he also a paraplegic? Why is he in a wheelchair?
Yeah, I don't know why he's in a wheelchair.
Because a wheelchair seems like the opposite thing if you don't have hands.
Like, right, I think he can walk.
If you do have feet, but you don't have hands, the solution's not wheelchair.
Yeah, because it's like, it's hard for you to wheel yourself.
It's fucking impossible.
Right? It's worse. What are you, like, are you going to, like, kick around like you're in one of those, like, kids' toys, like the Flintstones truck? Like, right?
Yeah, it didn't make sense. So I thought he might have been a paraplegic, but no, I think he walked at some point. You're right. So I don't know why he's in a wheelchair. It's just for, like, pity purposes.
Yeah, it makes him look, like, more, yeah, pitiable, I guess.
But then, in addition to that, like, he falls out of the wheelchair at some point, and he can't, like, roll over, even though he has... It's like he doesn't have a hand, and then he doesn't have a forearm on the other one. Yeah. So he still has one functioning elbow. And I just feel, you know, maybe this is ableist of me, that if I had a single elbow, I could probably, like, not just wriggle around on the floor. I could probably swing my legs up and sit Indian style. You know, I might not be able to stand up, but... I could probably not just lay on my stomach like
if your arms were tied to your side, I feel like you could still stand up, right?
Yeah, I mean, it would probably be easier for some smaller individuals like Evan was. But yeah, the whole fucking timeline irked me for that reason. Because it just was poorly done, I feel. Yeah, and like people were making fun of him for being in a wheelchair, and it felt weird. Like the whole I didn't like any of it.
Yeah, because this is like in a college. This isn't like even just kids who might, like, you know, just be jerks. This is like kids, you know, adults who are just like, oh my god, a wheelchair guy. It's like, yeah, that's like, you see that, that's like a thing that happens. He's not like the first guy in a wheelchair. I don't know. Yeah, I mean, I guess college kids can suck, but like, I don't know.
They were like pointing and laughing. It just was, it didn't, what college is this? But anyway, my question for that was, if the dynamite, right, because the dynamite explodes three different times, and in two of those three, it kills the person that it's right beside. But for some reason, Evan doesn't die. Instead, it just blows, like, his arms off, right? So yeah. Why didn't he die? Like, if he was standing next to the mailbox, why wasn't he just dead? Because I guess that was the end of the movie. Was he far enough away from the mailbox?
Yeah, I mean, I guess he was just far further away than the woman was. I mean, because she opened the mailbox, right?
Oh, maybe.
Yeah.
And Kaylee was holding the dynamite, so.
Yes. Oh, that's, yeah.
Yeah.
This is when Kaylee seems real dumb in this time. I don't mean to be a jerk to this child, but. So Tommy shields her. Shields the mother for some reason and becomes like a religious leader and is like really, like, he's like really buttoned up and chill and he's like a nice guy. So it's like, oh my god, what the fuck happened in this timeline type of thing.
Yeah, he's reformed.
Yeah, totally, totally healed. And Evan's mother, I guess, becomes a chain smoker and develops lung cancer. And Evan like seems to be like fine with this. Except for when he realizes his mother has lung cancer, he's like, oh, I have to go back because she started smoking. And throughout this whole movie, because you said that they use a cigarette as like a fuse, the kids are smoking early in this movie. Like, I don't know what this thing's stance on smoking is. It's very strange. The mother is such a weird character too. I don't know what she's doing. When we first see her, she's like literally in a mechanic's jumpsuit fixing their car in the driveway. And then unzips it, and underneath is wearing, like, a full diner waitress uniform. Like, just quick change into a different profession. Because she's actually not a mechanic, she's actually a diner waitress. She was just fixing their car for, honestly, seemingly no reason. Like, it didn't have any narrative purpose, I don't think.
She's a single mother, you know? She's got to wear multiple hats.
Oh, and then, so, this actually sort of, this is bringing us all the way back. Did we ever talk about, like, when he first talks to the teacher?
No.
No, okay, so, because this is, like, the first couple scenes. The mother goes to, drops him off at school after doing her, like, quick change out of the mechanic jumpsuit. And the teacher's like, you know, I kind of need to talk to you. And she's like, oh, okay, sure. And she comes inside. She's like, I'm waiting for work, but she comes inside. And then she's like, we had all the kids draw what they want to be when they grow up. And Evan drew, and it looks like a picture of him stabbing people or something. Like him over some bodies.
Standing over some bodies with a bloody knife.
However, this is like a really good drawing. To the point where she should have been like, he has real autistic talent, if you can figure out this whole urge to stab thing. And then the lady goes, and I don't even want to tell you this, but when we asked him, he says he doesn't remember drawing it. It's like, why wouldn't you tell his mother that part? Like, if you're bringing this to her attention, it's like, oh, we think there's something maybe wrong with your child, but we're not going to tell you some of the symptoms of it. Like, what the hell is happening at the school?
So I think that that helps characterize the mother, because she's already traumatized from having lived through her ex-husband Jason's struggles with these time travels, right?
Right.
So, I mean, if she sees that her son is falling into those same patterns, that's what makes her just the ball of anxiety throughout the movie.
Right, but this is the first time I think she hears about the blackouts, right? So, because this is the first, like, blackout incident, I think.
Yes. So it's, and maybe, like, are you saying that the kindergarten teacher had knowledge that Andrea's husband?
Oh, no, I don't know any, I don't know any of that. It's just weird that the teacher's like, and I don't want to even tell you this, but he doesn't remember it. It's like,
well, you should probably share that.
Yeah, why wouldn't you tell her that? Like, that's not like a bad, like, that's not like, oh, he did an additional bad thing. It's just like, I think your son's like having psychological, we need to take him to a doctor. And then they do, they take him to a doctor, and the doctor's like, oh my God, you wouldn't believe. It's weird that they don't take him to like a psychologist and have him like, hey, why did you draw pictures of stabbing people? They take him to like get an MRI, and they're like, oh, yes, see, you can see in the stabbing part of his brain is lit up real bright. We're going to have to look into this. Like, it doesn't make a ton of sense.
Well, isn't that the same doctor that evaluated Jason?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
I mean, that doctor comes back a few times. He keeps coming back. So then, where are we? So where he was still at
his mother has lung cancer.
Yeah, exploded ham timelines. He doesn't have any journals, right? Oh, no.
He doesn't have any journals beyond the dynamite incident.
So, yeah, he goes back to the childhood. I think he actually goes back to when they're about to be molested.
Yeah, the kiddie porn incident again.
Right. And he's like, you know what? We can actually double duty this one. Because in the middle of when he's supposed to be filming a porn, he goes through the basement and grabs the dynamite and threatens the father with it. And when he everything threatens the father, it's real stupid. He's like, listen, fuckface. Yeah, that always gets your attention. If you do any more porno, I'm going to tell everybody about it. It's like, you should tell everybody anyways. Like, this guy's a bad guy. It's throughout the whole movie, it's never like, we called the police and arrested the molester next door. And everyone, they're like, we stopped him from molesting Kaylee, but he did abuse Tommy his entire childhood. And he decided not to make kiddie porn. But it's unclear if he abused his kids. It's like, someone should just call the police on this guy. This guy seems like a real piece of work. But it's never addressed, even a little bit. So then he grabs the dynamite. And he's like, having this whole back and forth threat with the father. Like, the father's like, you little shit, put that down. That's dangerous. And he's like, I guess he lit it at some point, maybe? And
then the father wasn't taking him seriously.
Yeah, and he drops it on the ground. And then Kaylee picks it up and goes, oh, a sparkler. It's like, were you not listening to this whole fucking conversation? What were you doing? You're the same age as everybody. This is why she seems like a little child, because she's just like, oh my God, a sparkler. And she just gets, her face gets exploded, I assume, because she's just holding it in front of her face. So she's dead.
Yes.
And then he's back in a mental hospital, finds out he has no journals, and he has brain damage now. Because of the rigors of the time travel, apparently.
That's the doctor's synopsis?
Yes, the doctor's like, well, I mean, the doctor doesn't say the time travel part.
Okay,
he's like, he's overloaded with memories. You can see he has too many memories crammed into his brain. And then the guy's like, you know, your father, and then he's talking to him, he's like, there are no journals. Your father used to say the same thing about his photograph album. And I think this is what spurs him to believe, like, oh, I can go back through any piece of media as long as I, you know, have something. So he asks his mom to get some home movies. Right?
Yes.
And then he uses them. So in the, I think in, so in the cut I watched, he goes back and strangles himself in the womb.
So that's the director's cut.
Okay.
Yes.
Is that the one you watched?
That's the one that was on Plex. Yeah.
Okay. I'm also aware of one. I think this is the one I saw when I was younger, where he goes back and just tells the girl when they first met to fuck off. And then she just goes and lives with her mom and is just happy with her mom.
Well, so that's the three okay. of the four. But they end sort of differently. So yes, in the theatrical cut, the happy ending and open ending, he watches the party where he meets Kaylee. And in all three of them, he says, you know, I hate you. I never want to talk to you. If you ever come near me again, I'll kill you. Right? And he's just like distancing himself from Kaylee so that she doesn't live in the same neighborhood, right?
Or she doesn't hang out with him. And it turns out she lives with her mom, but yeah.
Yes. So in the theatrical cut, the one that you remember, that happens. And then whenever they pass each other in the streets, whenever they're 28, they turn back at different times, but then they keep going their separate ways.
Right.
And then there's another ending where they interact with each other on the street as 28-year-olds, and they actually like go get a cup of coffee. And now that she's beyond like the child molestation and Tommy bullying, right, then maybe they can have a life together at this
point. I'm sort of wondering if they would even recognize each other, having met once when they were 7.
Yeah, I mean, but he has all of his memories, right? He has 120 years worth of memories.
But she doesn't, because I watched the cut on the internet where they like, where they walk past each other. She's wearing like a white suit for some reason. And like, he looks back at her and then looks forward and then she looks back at him and then they keep walking.
Yeah, and she shouldn't know who he is.
Yeah, but does she even know who this guy is? Like, it'd make
more
sense.
That's one 7-year-old that was an asshole to her once at a party that she went to.
Yeah, like, I don't know. I don't think I'd recognize anyone who I only saw when they were 7 and never saw after that.
I recognize people that I fucking saw in, you know, when I was 20. Like, if they've changed anything about their physical appearance, they're completely different. I don't know who they are.
I mean, like, I'm just bad with faces, but I used to not recognize people when they got haircuts in, like, middle school.
Yeah, it's rough. Haircuts, glasses, facial hair. Like, I could literally be interacting with a bunch of people I went to high school with. I have no fucking clue. They'd have to literally tell me.
You know, it's tough, yeah. She recognizes him, I guess. And it's weird that her only memory of him would be, like, a bad one. And it's weird that she, like, sort of turns back in, like, longingly. And you're just like, this is, like, at best, you remember this as, like, a random crazy kid who met you once and told you he was going to fucking murder you.
Yes.
Even if you recognize him, just keep walking. Like, stay the fuck away from him, right?
And then the fourth one is, I guess he recognizes her, and then he just chooses to walk after her. But we don't know if he ended up catching her or if they chatted. So that's the open ending. Yeah, so that, like, in three of them, he goes back to the party and says, you know, don't interact with me. And then the director's cut is he strangles himself in the womb, which is just fucking wild.
And so this is wild for a few reasons. First of all, his father says, like, oh, it needs to end with, you know, we need to end it. I tried to end it or something. You know, because apparently this is like a generational thing. Just like About Time. Apparently it's the men in the family have this weird time travel power.
Yep.
But, like, it's not clear why the time travel power is bad. They act like it's a curse, but it just seems like they're kind of idiots. Like, he tries, like, 3 things, manages to fuck up every time, and then it's just like, there is no way to solve problems using time travel. It's like, I think there is, though. Like, you probably could have just, like, instead of just, like, reading the journals, had he just, like, sat down and, like, planned something out, be like, I'm going to go back. At some point, he's like, I need something to cut the rope. And he's looking for a knife. And then he realizes, like, that's the time his mother found him holding a knife. It's like, okay, so, like, you sort of know, like, what's going wrong here. It's like, I don't know, maybe just, like, go back, call the police about the child molestation. The first time he's like, hey, you should come over to my basement tomorrow. Like, call the police and be like, hey, I think this guy's a diddler. Like, maybe look into it. If you come, like, into the basement in, like, an hour and a half, you're going to see something that's going to be difficult for him to explain, you know? But he does not do that. He doesn't do any of this stuff. So he goes back, and earlier, him and his mom had talked to a psychic at some point. Was that in your cut?
That's the only added scene in the director's cut versus the other three.
Because this is a weird scene where he's like talking to a psychic, and apparently psychics are real in this universe, because she's like, you don't have a soul, you don't have a lifeline on your hand, you're not supposed to exist.
Here. Yeah.
And it's like, oh, that's fucking crazy. It's a crazy thing to say. But like, it seems like the psychic's like distressed. It seems like she's real. Like she like has psychic abilities. Like that is not, we should go back to her and see, like, you know, he should like link up with her and be like, hey, I'm about to like go into my womb and off myself. Maybe we can work together, because it seems like you also have some kind of mind powers. But he doesn't even try that. So then he strangles himself in the womb, like, because he's watching, I guess, his birth on camera, right?
Yeah, I guess his father's filming the gurney going down the hall.
And as this is happening, it's literally like the doctor's yelling, he's strangling himself in the womb. And you're like, what? Like, how? Okay, sure. And then you see this, like, they replay the psychic's dialogue being like, you have no soul, you shouldn't be here. And then his mom's like, you hear like voiceover of like, before I had you, I had a bunch of stillbirths, implying that like every iteration of her children keep fucking strangling themselves in their womb. Like, this mother is so traumatized from her kids committing suicide in utero. Like, this is insane. This was the director's cut. I sort of like this cut better, because it's so wild that, like, I don't know. At least the, like, going back, because it's weird that he would, I mean, again, this makes him look way stupider, because the only thing he can figure out how to do is commit suicide. Rather than just, like, do the thing where he avoids Kaylee.
And it looks like, I guess it's luck of the draw, right? Because there's nothing he could have done in the womb to have changed how he met Kaylee. He literally asked his mother for the home movies and had to break out of his like institutional cell in order to lock himself in a room and just watch any one of these home movies. So that's sort of like the luck of the draw. Whichever one he grabbed, he didn't know he was grabbing the one that his father was filming of his mother, you know, being gurneyed down the hall. And then in the other one, like, it's just he grabbed a random home movie.
Yeah, but right? I feel like maybe he could have had access to these movies again, rather than immediately go to, I have to commit suicide right this moment in utero, and again, traumatize my mother. And it seems like, again, this has happened a bunch of times, with the implication being that, like, everyone, all her children, or something, or it's just him a bunch of times, but maybe all of her children eventually arrive at the conclusion that the only thing they can do is commit suicide before they're born.
Yeah, because the father said it has to end with them.
Apparently.
So really, the problem's with the mother for wanting a kid.
I mean, there's a lot of problems. I don't know, but I don't. This is like at least an in time or about time. Like, there's like things where you're just like, okay, you have time travel powers. Like, because there's some things where they're like, oh, there's, and they have the limitation of you can't go back before you had the kid. So it's at least like, okay, there's like some limits on that, you know. This, it seems like he can go back as many times, and he's just really trying to solve, like, pretty, like, big problems. Like, don't let the explosion happen. It's funny, they keep talking about, they call it the blockbuster. You know, because that's, like, the type of, like, firecracker it is.
Yeah.
And at some point he goes back, and he's, like, in his timeline, this is when I think he grabs the knife, and he's, like, I need to find something to destroy the blockbuster. And it just sounds like he's committing some kind of, like, you know, terrorism on the local video rental place. Because, like, for whatever reason, they just don't want to call it, you know, the firework. So they're just like, yes, I need to destroy the blockbuster. It's like, okay. I guess he just has a lot of late fees or something. It's, but, yeah, I don't know. He just, like, doesn't have a, like, he just doesn't sit down and make a plan. Like, every time he, like, finds a bad timeline, he's just like, oh, shit. Okay, let me go grab my journals. It's like, why don't we just sit down? think about all the memory. Like, he apparently journals almost everything. So it's just like, why doesn't he sit down and be like, okay, where could I go? What change could I make? But he's always just like, I got to go back to that little pedophile room. Not even like the day before and be like, hey, mom, I feel sick. I don't want to get molested today. Or, hey, mom, why don't you like come over and whatever, like whatever. He's always goes back to that moment. I guess he can only go, maybe he can only go there because he only journals when he's blacked out. But I think that's like a that's like one of those paradoxes, right? Because he's only blacking out because he's going back there.
Yeah, I mean, this is the first time I've thought of it that way. I thought that he could only travel back to when he blacked out, not that he was causing the blackouts.
Well, so no, he can, but he can obviously travel back to anywhere he has memories of, right? Because he didn't black out in utero, I don't think.
Right? Yeah, so, I mean, he didn't have memories in utero.
Right. So, but it seems like he can just, but he went back to that party too. It seems like he could, if you would just like give him a photograph of any time, he could go back there.
Yeah. So, could you imagine trying to go your whole life without looking at any family photographs?
I mean, yeah, that doesn't seem that difficult. If you look at family photographs?
What do you mean? Don't your relatives have family photographs hung in their house?
I don't think I have seen a photograph of myself like recently, I don't think.
Oh, really? Yeah, I mean, every time I go
find one. Actually, there's one in my basement, I guess.
I think my father has photo albums. I think, my grandparents all had photos of the grandkids on the wall.
Yeah, but there's like photos that exist somewhere. But like, I think I could easily avoid not seeing a photo of myself ever again if I wasn't going out of my way to find one.
Yeah, well, so in the theatrical cut, that's his solution. He destroys his journals. He destroys his home videos. But I guess he also needs to tell all of his relatives to destroy their home videos and their family photos because he doesn't want any evidence of him in the past, right?
Yeah, like he's gonna have to like go steal his aunt's wedding video
and not and look like, at it, but yeah, still
like,
know
I don't
that
care
it's
about your memories. Like, I'm setting this on fire. She's like, stop it! It's like, how would you accidentally see that?
Where's your box of photos? I just need to burn them all for no reason.
Only the ones I was in. Yeah, because he seems like once he starts reading, he can't like control going back. Right? It seems like it just like happens.
Yep, so he'd just have to indiscriminately destroy all memories, photograph, video, journals of all of his relatives.
Although, again, this is one of those where I don't know like when he goes back, but it's like, when does the going back end? It ends, it's not like he lives his life out there forever. Because it seems to end whenever the kid, like, unblacks out. Right? Because that's when he, as an adult, has left the kid's memory. But it's like, does he just, like, yank himself out of the memory? He's like, okay, I'm all good here. Like, pull me out type of thing. You know?
So that's, I mean, that's why I didn't think it was him doing it. Because...
No, it's definitely him doing it.
Clearly he had more to do. Like, it didn't seem like he had a choice to yank back to the present. Like, why would he have chosen then?
I think the character is just really dumb. Like, it canonically really stupid. Because, like, otherwise this is, like, the most solvable problem. Because, like, even the molestation thing, he goes back twice and never tries it again. It's like, he can just keep going back. You know?
Yeah.
He has the power of time travel. It's, like, a really strong power. That he, like, literally cannot use. It's so funny, like, how bad you have to be with it to make everything worse constantly. Which I guess is, like, always the thesis of these movies, is, like, it's impossible to change the past without causing catastrophic damage to everything. It's like, I mean, is it, though? Like, have you tried, like, a little bit, like, thinking about it? Or, like, it seems like you're just acting very haphazard. It's like, you know, we can all think if we made a different choice in the past, I guess it would change our life and, like, destroy some things. But I imagine there's things we could think about, like, I wish I made that choice differently. But this is like, no, that is folly. The only way forward is to never try to change anything ever. And yeah, I don't know. So.
Yeah, I mean, in the theatrical cut, I was also confused. Like, okay, Kaylee meets Evan at this party, and he says some mean shit to her. But how does a 7-year-old have the ability to influence, like, custody decisions of somebody he's never met? You know, just like a neighbor.
This one is, she said earlier, I decided to stay with my father because I wanted to be close to you. So in this version, she just decides to stay with her mother instead, which she already had the option of doing before.
All because some kid in the neighborhood was a dick to her?
Well, that's the only reason she decided to stay with her father in the first place, was to be with him. Like, her default would have been to stay with her mother.
When did that choice take place? When she was 13?
No, when she was 7, I think.
Yeah, I just don't think a 7-year-old would choose to stay for another 7-year-old. And why would you let your 7... Like, who... It's not the choice of the 7-year-old.
It is in this universe, yeah.
That doesn't make any sense.
Well, it makes enough sense.
Yeah, like, couldn't Kaylee and Tommy, after having bad relations with this 7-year-old Evan, who they hadn't met yet, have still lived with their father and, you know, still made incestuous kiddie porn at that point?
Yeah, I think they didn't want to, though. I mean, Tommy might have, honestly, but... yeah. No. I don't know.
Pretty wild.
So... yeah, I mean, that's the whole movie, I guess, right? Do you have any other notes on it?
No, I don't. I mean, you said you saw this movie back when it came out or, like, in high school or whatever, right?
I think I saw it when when did it come out, 2004?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I mean, I probably saw it in high school or whenever.
And it was a pretty interesting movie at that time. No, I don't think I saw it in theaters either.
It actually, but... I remember this as, like, a movie that, like, gets made fun of a lot. It had a budget of $13 million and made almost $100 million. So it was very successful.
Very successful from a you know, viewer reception perspective, but horribly reviewed from a critic's perspective. 34%
well, really
on
bad.
Rotten Tomatoes.
It's a bad movie.
It is bad.
It's, like, it's interesting. So there's actually two things. One, this is just sort of a thing I forgot to mention. When he goes into the, like, when he becomes a college student the first time, his roommate is a guy who I think is, what's his name? Ethan Suppley, who I think is known for playing, like, a football player in Remember the Titans. I think he's, like, the real big kid.
Yep.
Who, like, sings, I think.
Yes.
And in this one, he's also a big guy.
Yeah.
And in the past, what is it, Lenny is also like a little chubby little kid. So I literally just thought they were the same person for a while. Because I like couldn't hear them mention the names until they finally did. So, I mean, that was on me. But it's just weird that they like gave him a chubby friend and then gave him a chubby roommate. And those are different guys for most of the movie. But then later on, the chubby friend is his old roommate. So like in every timeline, he has a chubby roommate. But they're different guys. This one's like Ethan Suppley, what is it, Thumper, is like more of a goth.
Yeah.
Who also, when we meet him, has just had sex with a lady. That's what the lady is looking for when she finds the journals. She says, it smells like sex in here. And they're like, and he's like, oh yeah, that was Thumper. And she's like, Thumper? Wow, he's a big guy. And she's like, yeah, but you know, charisma and eyeliner gets you far. And she's like, do you have any incense? Let me check under your bed for incense. It's like, what are we? That's what she finds in the journals. She's like, these aren't incense. That's all fucking journals. It's like, stop opening my stuff. So yeah, there's all that. Secondly, oh, yeah, this movie is like, it's hard to even tell what this movie is like about, like plot-wise. Because like, it's so hard to tell like what the timeline like is happening is, because it's mostly just him like going, like it's, I guess his life as a college student is the closest we have to like a present day, but it's not like he has any motivation in the movie for most of it beyond like changing a couple things. Like it's never like he wants to end up anywhere, you know, he's not like trying to accomplish something, and the time travel is sort of like a means to that so much as he's just like is trying to correct the past but sort of ambivalent about what kind of future he gets so long as it doesn't suck, you know?
Yeah.
It's not like he's trying to become a certain thing or like fix a problem. He's just like, yeah, this timeline where like Kaylee's a prostitute, I don't love it. I'll try a new one. Like, oh, you know, just like he's like re-rolling it until he finds one that's acceptable. It's not like he's like, I'm going to fix this problem so I can like get together with Kaylee or something, you know, or like whatever. Because there are timelines where I think the hand blown off timelines, I think Lenny and Kaylee are together.
Yep.
And he's like a little bit disappointed and tells her like, don't you wish we were together? She's like, yeah, but I'm with Lenny and he's your best friend and don't fuck this up. And then he's like, okay, fine with that. But then he's like, oh, my mom has lung cancer. I guess I have to go back and see if I can get my hands back because obviously I'm only doing this for my mom. It's not because I like having hands and want to, you know, bang Amy Small. Yeah. This is very, it's a very altruistic time travel that I'm doing here.
Yeah. I mean, how he was just looking for any reason to travel back in time, I think. He was like, okay, well, this is shitty for me so far. Just, is there anyone this is slightly bad for? My mother lived a full life. She's now in her late 50s. Yes, she likes smoking. She had a great life smoking, but, you know, she could probably live another 25 years. So I'll travel back in time to try to save her now.
Yeah, he's like, oh, you have lung cancer. Oh, no, that's so, I gotta do something. You smoked your whole, and it was because of me you started smoking? Mom, I gotta go. I gotta do it, Mom. Give me the journal. She's like, don't do anything. I gotta do it. Yeah, I don't know. It's fucking nuts. I don't know what, that's the thing. I just don't know what this movie is, like, about the whole time. And that's why at the end when he just, like, because at the end, I think he's a doctor maybe at the end because he says something about patients. And in the first timeline he's in college, he talks about, like, trying to do some kind of memory studies. And that's why he has these, like, mealworms.
I feel like he's a psychology major.
It's funny. They have mealworms, which are, like, I guess maybe worms, but they're actually just, like, beetle lava. So when everyone calls them worms, it, like, kind of makes sense, but they kind of look like, they're not, like, worms that wriggle so much as they're, like, little, like, millipede-looking things. Again, doesn't matter, but it's just weird that they, like, talk about these worms a few times and show them, and it's just like, I don't even know if these like, count as worms. Yeah, then he's like, I'm studying if we can figure out the brains of... They didn't even show him doing anything with them. It's not like they show him doing a study on the worms. They're just like, oh, you're the worm guy. You have worms? And he's like, yeah, and I got some worms. They're like, oh, that's so weird. It's weird when people have worms. He's like, oh, it's for school, though. And they're like, oh, that's a weird thing to study in school. And they're like, yeah, I mean, it's my guess. Yeah, I don't even think they're real worms, honestly. Looking them up, I think they're just beetle lava.
I mean, I think he's... Is he a doctor of psychology at that point? Is he a psychiatrist?
Yeah, I don't know. It's just at the end he mentions, he just like, as he's walking out of the door, he's like, he's actually talking to his mom. I guess because they want him talking on the phone, but don't want him talking to like a girlfriend because he might hook up with Kaylee, I guess.
Yeah.
Right? So he's just like, yes, Mom, get some soup. I was just talking to patients. But it's only throughout the movie we really hear him like, go back to this, because at one point he's a frat bro, and he's, like, cheating his way through the exams. Like, he doesn't have any, like, thing, it seems like, you know?
Yeah. I mean, he didn't want to get into time traveling.
No,
he,
I guess...
He stumbled into it, and then he's like, oh, shit, maybe I can use this for good. And then it just goes wrong, because Kaylee kills herself.
Yeah.
So, I think it has a plot. It might not be wholly consistent and well fleshed out, but, you know, I think a plot exists.
No, but, like, I just mean, like, if it weren't for the time travel thing, what would this man be doing, I guess, is, like, something we don't really see, like, threaded throughout the movie, you know?
Oh, gotcha. Yeah, I mean, I guess he would continue to be a successful psychology student. And he would graduate and become a doctor and have patients.
We see like about 2 minutes of that total is the only thing. Like in, what's it called? In like About Time, the guy like has a life that he's trying to lead. And the time travel is something he does to like adjust that and like
help him achieve those goals.
But
yeah.
It's not like the time travel is just the whole thing for this movie, which I guess is fine because that's like what the movie is about. You know,
yeah.
It seems like they still should have addressed the Tommy thing, because that kid was a sociopath and wants to bang his sister. Even in the time when he saves the mother, it still seems like he wanted to bang his sister. So they should have maybe dove into that a little bit. and he was like real jealous. It was like in a better movie, the fact that he like, it's sort of like, I mean, not it's a joke, but it's like in Always Sunny, they make the joke where it's like, the kids are mad that they weren't chosen to be molested by the gym teacher. And he seems like mad that he didn't get to do the kiddie porn. But he's like sitting on the stairs watching, I guess just so there's more witnesses. But he's like, oh, it's so, you know, I can't believe dad doesn't love me enough to molest me. And you're like, what the hell is happening in this thing? You know? And then dad, like, then the dad like beats him up. But it seems like had the dad just not disciplined him or molested anybody, and it's weird that the dad was able to be talked out of molesting people by like a 7-year-old being like, you little piece of shit, don't molest anybody. And the guy's like, I'm sorry, I will change my ways. And you're like, oh, okay, that was easy. They should do that with all the pedophiles. This guy should just go look out for pedophiles.
I think what sold it is he whispered to Kaylee, he said, hey, here's what you need to say to your father. And then she said, don't touch me again or something.
Yeah.
So I think the molestation had occurred before that, just not with Evan.
No, I don't think it's occurred before that.
You don't think there was anything going on between Mr. Miller and Kaylee?
No.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Because later, when he talks to her, I think when he's a frat guy and says, this might bother you, but remember when your dad got the camera? She says, yeah, he gave it away the next day, but... Or he only had it for one day, then gave it away. And then she goes like, why would that bother me? It really seems like she just has no trauma in that timeline.
Oh, yeah. Okay. No, you're right.
I mean, I don't know if I'm right. I mean, but it seems like when he stopped the molestation of that day, that was like the first instance of molestation. It seems like. I don't know.
Yeah, no, I'm with you.
Or maybe not. Again, this is one of those movies where like there's 30 timelines. That's why when you're like, so what happened when they blew up the mailbox? I'm like, they did that 12 times, though. That's all they did this movie. Literally, the whole movie is they made a kiddie porn, they blew up the mailbox, and they killed a dog. And then there's just times in between going back to those events.
So you know? In about time, he literally changes the actions of 2 minutes ago, right? He just goes back 2 minutes, like 3 million times. And then, you know, I guess his father goes back 24 hours, I guess 30,000 times. But, you know, in this movie, he's going back 14 years. So I guess the time increase, right, has the chance to have more pervasive impacts to the current day.
Yeah,
and so that's why they can achieve it in about time.
I guess it's, but in about time, he does go back further a few times. And, you know, he tries to, like, but, I mean, again, these aren't the same movie. It would be interesting. So the butterfly effect is, you know, the quote at the beginning I think they used is, you know, a flap of a butterfly, what is it? It has been said that something as small as the flutter of a butterfly's wings can ultimately cause a typhoon halfway around the world.
Yes.
It's weird that, like, the things he changed in this are actually fairly large. And they only seem to affect these people's lives.
Yeah.
You know, it's like he prevented someone from accidentally killing two people. Or he prevented a kid from murdering his dog, burning his dog alive, which is insane. Again, we've not addressed this nearly enough. He tried to murder the dog alive.
Yeah.
Because he was jealous of his sister kissing somebody. Again, that kid has a lot of problems that were never addressed. And all that ends up changing is, like, their romantic relationships and whether or not he's a douchebag in college, basically. It should be like, oh, he stopped this girl from getting molested, therefore, like, I don't know, the, you know, like something massive changed on, like, a world scale is, like, the butterfly effect thing. This is actually just, like, if you go back and change your own past, your future will also change. It's like, yeah, no, that's how that works. You know, that's not even like, I don't think that's what the butterfly effect is about. You know, it's like if the typhoon went in a different direction, it would cause, like, that's all this is. This has nothing to do with a butterfly. There's no butterflies in this. It's only like the guy goes back in his past and his life changes. It's like, oh yeah, obviously. It changed the life of like three people. It's not like he goes back and like cures cancer or something and that like has a big effect. Like, it's not like he goes back and stops the molestation and then he goes back and he's like a, you know, a well-known cancer doctor and has like saved lives, but something else is fucked up. It's really just like, no, it is like cause and effect exists, basically, is what this movie establishes.
So. Yeah. I mean, if had he woken up in the present again and it was like, I don't know, he was in a communist regime or something, like would been, you know.
Yeah, that's sort of what you always see, like the cartoon versions of this, which are like, I think, more fun, where he goes back and like aliens have taken over and you're just like, what the fuck happened? Like, how did, you know, me saving my dog lead to, you know, the fall of the Republic, you know? But it's like, somehow
it's the butterfly effect.
Yeah.
This is not.
No, this is just like, if you were to stop major events in your life would be different, you know? And that's like, I think, this is more of like Sliding Doors. You ever seen that movie?
No.
I haven't either, so I probably shouldn't have got into it. But it's like, I think it's about like the subway doors closing. It's like whether or not the people like get off and meet each other. It's like effects of their particular lives on themselves. But it's not like, again, the butterfly effect, which is like a very small thing having like global consequences type of thing. Which is what this sort of pretends to be. It named itself after. So, yeah. I don't know. Ultimately, I think this was a bad movie that I really didn't enjoy watching because it was like, I don't say confusing, but just like, you had to like kind of keep track of what timeline you were in. And like, even afterwards you asked me like, oh, when did this event happen? And if I hadn't had notes on like basically every scene being like, okay, in this timeline, she was a prostitute, but her brother was doing this. And this is when her father said this. And like, it's like, what the fuck? Like, it's not even like it's not even like you can sort of group the events by like theming of some kind or like some aesthetic. You know, like, I don't know why she kills herself when he meets her at the diner that one time. And then she's like a prostitute who's like really into being a prostitute. I don't know.
Yeah.
Then there's like a whole prison section. Again, it's like, there's just a lot of stuff going on.
You know? There really is. And I mean, it's a lot to keep track of and a lot to remember. Almost like the character Evan, you know, he's got decades and decades of memories that he's got to keep straight.
Again, I don't even know that he does. And also, apparently, Ethan Supple was also in Road Trip with Amy Smart. So, what are the chances?
Did he play a big guy in that?
I think he just was a big guy. So, I think he almost had to. Yeah. I think he, like, lost a lot of weight. I think he, like, lost 300 pounds or something.
Yeah, I mean, I think he was a big guy in My Name is Earl?
Yes, I think he's also in that.
Yeah. So. Yeah, but no. Nowadays, he's fit. Yeah, good for him. Way to go, Ethan Suppley. Still his best role is Remember the Titans, though.
I like Remember the Titans. I think that's a good. We should watch Remember the Titans. That's just a good movie. We should just watch that for fun.
Yeah. You know? I mean, I do occasionally. Yeah. All right, so you're saying this is bad. I mean,
do you know who actually, I was actually thinking about this the other day. Do you know who is in Remember the Titans that I always forget's in that movie?
Donald Faison?
No, I knew he was in that. Someone younger.
Someone younger. Oh, yeah, Hayden Panettiere.
Hayden Panettiere. Isn't that crazy?
Isn't that crazy?
Would it be wild if we watched Remember the Titans soon and we had a special guest?
That would be crazy.
It would be crazy.
I mean,
seems unlikely, honestly.
we can try.
I mean, listen, I think we almost have to.
Yeah.
I would say this is a nephew. I just found it tough to watch. Like, it's so everything about it's so deeply unpleasant too. It's sort of the inverse of About Time, where like, no matter how stupid that story gets, like, it's all sort of like fun and pleasant and everyone's cute and having a good time. This is just like all about just like trauma and negativity. And like, I get it because that's what this movie's about, but that's all it is. Every scene of this is just like a miserable experience, you know?
Yeah. At the time, like, I remembered this movie fondly. I liked this movie. So, yeah.
So you went in expecting to like this.
Yeah. I mean, and I think I do still like this movie. Really? Like, I would watch it again. I can't recommend it to somebody, though, and I have to give it a nephew. Like, I have to acknowledge that it's a bad movie that I just like for nostalgic reasons, you know? Because at the time, I was just like, holy shit, that movie was insane, you know? but it just doesn't hold up.
Yeah, no, it was pretty bad. What do you like about it, I guess?
What do I like about it? I don't know. Time travel, the ability to change your past. I mean, Evan seems like a good person, you know? Like, he seems to want to do the right thing. Yeah, he's a big fucking idiot. There's a lot of dipshits in this movie. And I guess if you don't think too hard about, you know, how little it takes to really make this movie fucking crumble, then you can just sort of enjoy it. So, it without a critical lens, I think one can enjoy this movie.
Really? See, I guess, like, I'm just such the opposite, Will. Like, even if I were to step back and, like, not look at it, you know, as, like, is this a good movie? Does it make sense? I'm just like, this is just so dreadfully unpleasant that, like, I can't imagine wanting to put this on, you know?
It's definitely not a feel-good movie, yeah. I mean, put it this way, I hadn't watched it in 20 years. But, like, I mean, I've seen it maybe 4 or 5 total times. Like, if I ever come across it, I don't back away from it. I'm like, oh, yeah, that's an interesting movie. But now I'll never look at it the same again.
I mean, you can. I don't want you to not enjoy it. I'm just saying that. It didn't seem good. You know? Do you know what's crazy?
Yeah.
This movie was actually, like, more financially successful than Remember the Titans.
How does that, you know, is that to date?
I mean, Remember the Titans cost twice as much and made a little bit more money.
Is that only in box office numbers? Like, I wonder if streaming impacts that number.
Yeah, so apparently Remember the Titans didn't do particularly well when it was released, but it's, you know, sort of considered. But I feel like when I was younger, everyone I knew loved Remember the Titans.
Yeah, I don't know anyone that doesn't love that movie.
Everyone remembers Remember the Titans, you know?
Yeah.
I didn't know there was, like, anybody, but, like, this movie I thought everyone hated and thought was stupid.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so I was surprised that this made a ton of money.
I think that's the minority of people. Per the IMDb scores and probably the audience score on Rotten Tomatoes.
They keep watching it, you know?
Yeah.
Can't stop them. You know? Even if you, like, physically try. Yeah, so that was my take on it. Do we have any tidbits or anything else?
You're calling for tidbits? I don't have any tidbits.
You don't have any tidbits?
I have no fucking tidbits. I didn't prepare
any tidbits. What happened? Oh my god.
Yeah,
that's
other than if I were to have a tidbit, it would be don't watch this movie, but watch About Time.
Yeah,
that's
That's a good idea, but you know, watch whatever you enjoy. You know, I don't want to tell you what ton of live.
All right, well, a double nephew for this one.
Okay, so do we have anything on the docket next, or are we not sure what we're doing next?
I don't know. We got to figure it out.
We'll figure it out. Okay.
All right. Fwe, 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 fwe.